Hey there, friends. Morning. Cool. Amen. We are here today on the first Sunday in November. I know it's like, how did November happen? Like, I find myself saying it that the year. I'm like, man, wasn't it just like January? So, cool. But we are here now in November. We're on the brink of the holiday season. And we are here to celebrate communion. So this is like we always do here at Journey. And we join churches all around the world. You know, you have a set time, a set day where you celebrate communion. You reenact basically the Lord's Supper. And some churches do it second Sunday, you might do it first Sunday. Some churches have some other kind of a rhythm. Some churches do it every Sunday. I once attended a church that did it every Sunday, right? But whatever, you know, Jesus left us a lot of room and a lot of latitude for diversity in terms of how we wanted to remember his death and how we wanted to reenact the Lord's Supper. But he did say, do this in remembrance of me. So we know we have to do it. And it is an invitation to do this, to be able to reenact the Lord's Supper and to be able to experience God's presence in a special way. And so that's what we are doing here today. And I wanted to give you a communion meditation in order to ready our hearts for taking communion. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 today. You can turn to it if you wish to. It could be analog, digital, however you want. And this is not going to be a full-blown sermon on all of Deuteronomy 6. You look at it, it's like, oh, you know, it's like, no, it's not happening today. It's not that kind of vibe. All right. But we're going to look at verses 4 through 9. And just to keep in mind the context of Deuteronomy is a long, as a book, it is a long side of beef, right? It is not like a cut of beef, right? It is like this massive chunk of text that you come into, and you might look at it, it's like, oh, and plus add to it that it is a lot of things that have already been said before. You can find lots of Deuteronomy in Exodus. There's bits of it from Leviticus. There's bits of it from Numbers. And you're like, so why is there so much repetition? What's happening here? Well, Israel is on the plains of Moab and is about to enter into the Promised Land. And mostly this is the second generation of Hebrews who are about to enter into the land God promised. God tried to ushered them into the land earlier after being liberated from Egyptian slavery. And Israel basically, Israel's mind wasn't right yet. Israel as a nation wasn't all growed up yet. They weren't ready to enter into the Promised Land, to put it very kindly. They were not ready. It was a disaster for them to enter. They didn't want to enter. They didn't think that they could conquer with the power of God. They said, there's ites there. There's giants there, right? And yeah, they really were. They were abnormally large people with a very strange genealogy, who were hostile, and they were like, oh, that's it. We're not doing it. And God's like, okay, we're going to have to march around the desert a bit and raise up a second generation whose hearts will be ready to do this. Well, that is the second generation, but the second generation is going to need a retelling of things. They're going to have to hear things a second time. Right? Because while they would have grown up hearing some things, God knew, yeah, my people got some issues. Right? And so I'm going to have Moses spend a lot of time telling them a lot of things that they already know. And then a few new things along the way. Right? That's what Deuteronomy is about. I think a pretty interesting book, even though it can be kind of challenging. And in one of the sections of it, we're going to look at chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And he's got something special for them in terms of remembering, in terms of reminders. And it fits very well because this is a day where we constantly, with rhythm and with regularity, we remember Christ. We are reminded of Christ. And so I wanted to attach that to this scripture to introduce communion today. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version just because this is my big chunky Bible that I had today. You read NIV, do you, however you want to do it. Okay, here we go. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is interesting. Israel is not established as a kind of a geographic nation right now, right? They're roaming about the wilderness. God wants to give them a patch of geography. They have not entered into it yet. So there's a lot of things that are a bit amorphous about them. They don't have long-standing physical structures, right? They don't have these things. They're constantly roving, so you have to travel light. And God would have them camp, and then he would tell them, okay, time to break camp and move on. And then he would tell them where to go next, and that's how they would do things. They were nomads, right? So they don't have much in the way of long-standing physical structures outside of, let's say, the tabernacle, which was mobile at this time. It was the center of Israel's life. It's where you would go and meet with God, right? And obviously this is before the actual temple was built in the promised land once they settled it. There's not a lot of physical structures to be able to mark out. There's no borders because there's no patch of geography yet. They don't have tons of, you know, buildings or standing houses, or there's no land allotments yet to be able to build a house on, right? So when you are trying to build in remembrance through physical things, it's kind of challenging, right? You have kind of limited options. And so what God does is here to remind them of his commandments. He has them make these trinkets. Now, I don't mean trinket lightly in a dismissive way, but he has them, you know, have these necklaces and these different things that they're binding on their hand, that they're binding on their forehead in order to be able to remember what God has said. It's like, you take these commandments, you take what I'm saying to you, and you put them on yourself. You put them on yourself, because I want to remind you of who you are and who I've called you to be. These commandments remind you, as he starts out, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God." The Lord is our God, as if to say, no other God. The Lord and no one else, right? And the Lord is one. And actually, that one there could be rightly translated as, the Lord is unique, right? The Lord is our God, and he ain't like nothing else, right? And that's where these commandments come from. And so when they would have these commandments on themselves, to remember who their God is, they remember what he calls them to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, right? You are to be singularly devoted to him with everything you are, everything you're not, and everything you got. And then these words, which I'm commanding to you today, shall be on your heart. It's interesting. He says, these words I'm commanding to you shall be where? On your heart. So then he has them physically put them on their wrists or their hands and on their heads. The words are supposed to go to your heart. That's spiritual. The physical reminder of what's supposed to be in your heart is on your hand or your wrist and on your forehead. See that? There's a relationship there. The physical reminder reminds you about what's supposed to be happening on your heart, right? And so, and you teach these commandments to across generations. You teach them whenever you're out and about your day, and you wear them. This is a picture of the commands of God, the reality of God, and our reminders of our devotion to God, just suffusing all of life. These few verses, he just basically says, I want the reality of who you serve, the one and only true living God, and the devotion he calls you to, right? And the commandments he calls you to, I'm going to let these permeate your life the same way it's supposed to permeate your heart. And every time you look at a fellow Israelite, you see that on their head, or you see it on their wrist, or you see it on your wrist, you remember whose you are. You remember what you're called to, and you remember how to follow this God, right? It's for your heart, We're going to externalize it and put it everywhere else. Then you flash forward to Christ and what we're doing here today. What does Christ do? Christ does the same thing. It's the same vibe, right? He's doing the exact same thing from Deuteronomy, except Jesus does it around a meal. Does it around Passover meal. And he takes the Old Testament Passover meal that our Jewish friends still celebrate to this day. They call it Seder. He takes the Seder meal and he bends it around himself. I'm the lamb now. I'm the lamb. It's my blood that goes on the doorpost, but not on a physical doorpost. That blood goes on your heart. This is the way you're forgiven, and everybody needs it, right? This is how you're forgiven. This is how you're reconciled to God. This is how the wrath of God passes over you, and you can have eternal life. The death angel passes over you. You die physically, but not spiritually. You're a forever kid, right? He does it, though, around a meal. A meal that's external to us, the same way these bracelets and things were external to the Israelites. But he adds this new dimension to it. He's like, you're going to take it in yourself. You're going to eat it, right? And it's going to go in yourself. And that's pretty cool because we know that in the new covenant, we get a new heart. God said himself, Jeremiah 31, I'm going to make a new covenant with you, and it won't be written on tablets of stone. Instead, I'm going to write it on your heart. So how appropriate, when we take communion into us. We ingest it. You know, we eat and we drink. And it makes sense because the new covenant is written on our hearts. Israel received this beautiful picture as they entered into this new season of hope, promises fulfilled, turning their back on what was before. You know, there's a whole new generation, that kind of thing, right? And for us, whatever season we're entering into, could be a season of awesomeness. I hope that's true for all of us. I hope it's a season of awesomeness, right? Season of blessing, season of victory, right? Season of confidence in Christ Jesus, right? A season of the goodness of the Father's blessings in his hand. I want that for every one of us, right? All of that good stuff, right? And it may come with trial, right? Okay, that's there too, right? I don't want that for us, but at the same time, hey, it could be that for us, but God will see us through, right? Whatever we're entering into, you know, they're standing at the edge of the geographic edge, on the edge of the geographic promised land, about to enter into a new season and literally a new place. Right? Whatever season we're entering into, you know, this is God's reminder. Communion is God's reminder. Whatever you're entering into, right? God's reminder is, you're mine. Right? God's reminder is, you know, hear, O church, right? The Lord is still our God. He is still unique. Right? Jesus quotes it himself from this passage. You know, we shall still love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our might. It is still true. And these words from the Old Testament and Jesus' words, right, are the commandments that will be on our heart. The new covenant has been placed on our heart. When we eat and drink today, whatever season we are in or entering into, it's a reminder, right, that the Lord our God is still with us in every new season. Season of awesomeness, season of trial, right, or season of both. We still belong to him. He still has expectations of us, and he's still with us as long as we stick with him. Right. So as we eat and drink today, right, remember this new covenant. We are taking this into ourselves, and it's appropriate because the new covenant has been written on our hearts, and that's for any season that we're entering into this day, no matter how awesome or how tough it's going to be. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, and like Israel, you know, what God wanted for them is to enter into a new season of blessing, entering into the promised land, but then there's also stuff they had to leave behind. There was things where God said, okay, we're entering into this new land, but bruh, before we do that, let's get some stuff straight. You got to turn your back on some stuff, Okay, and that's true for all of us all the time. So what we're going to do in our turning our backs on things, because we're believers, but we are still growing into likeness of Christ. So we are going to pray together a prayer of confession. And then after we pray a prayer of confession, we're going to have the elders who are going to come up, and we're going to consecrate the elements, and then we're going to take communion together. Worship team is going to lead us into the presence of the living God. And then after the worship team leads us into the presence of the Lord, we will come back together. We'll take communion together, right? And then we will pray a prayer of that commemorates God's pardon, right? And that's what we're going to do. So let's go ahead and pray a prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We've left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are penitent according to your promises declared to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And grant merciful Father for his sake that we may live a godly, righteous, and obedient life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Would the elders come up? We're going to pray for our time and consecrate the elements to a holy usage, and then elders will distribute communion. The worship team will lead us into God's presence. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we believe you. We believe in you. We believe in you as our holy God, who is utterly unique, and you are worthy of singular devotion from us. Everything we are, everything we're not, and everything we've got. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit, please be with us as we take communion today. Be with us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts ways in which we need to get right with you, ways in which we need to get right with others and reconcile. Sin that you're calling us, Lord, to just turn from and repent of. Encourage us, Lord, where we need encouragement through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Give us great confidence and wisdom where we need confidence and wisdom. All things, Lord, that you promised to all your kids in Jesus Christ's new covenant blessings, we pray that they'd be on the table for us through your presence right now, today. Lord God, meet us in the power of your presence. We consecrate these elements to a holy usage. May your name be exalted. May your name be lifted up in the great name of King Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Saints of God, prepare your hearts to take communion. First, the wafer. This is the body of Christ, broken for the sins of the world. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your conscience, take and eat. Now the grape juice. This is the blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. In accordance with the way the Lord has ministered to your conscience, take and drink. We're told in the book of Hebrews that the difference between the blood of Christ versus the blood of all those animals that were part of ritual sacrifice in the old covenant is that the blood of Christ cleansed forever. Which is why we don't need like repeated crucifixions or something really gruesome like that. The blood of Christ, all you needed is one time. Because one time in history was enough. Because it was the Son of God's blood. Right? And so the cool thing is that the Son of God's blood is effective to cleanse us, right? Forever. And we can keep coming back to the Lord and saying, I need new cleansing. I need new cleansing. And the Lord says, I got you. I got you. 2,000 years ago, just on the outskirts of Jerusalem was enough because it was the blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So we get to pray pardon. We get to acknowledge pardon that that through Jesus' blood and his sacrifice on the cross, that we receive pardon. When we come before the Lord and we need to get clean, the Lord says, I got you. He's still doing that for his kids. So let's go ahead and pray a prayer of pardon. to close out our time as we have communion. It's just leave clean. The Lord has hidden his face from our sin. He has blotted out all our iniquity. In Christ, in his cross, he has created within us a clean heart and renewed a right spirit within us. In this way, we are not cast away from his presence. We are endowed with his Holy Spirit, restored to the joy of God's salvation, and given a willing spirit to do all that he asks and desires of us. For in Christ Jesus, the perfect suffered for the imperfect, the sinless became sin for the sinner. We are forgiven and free to live in a right relationship with God. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven indeed. Amen. Praise him. All right, well, what we've been doing now for a few months with respect to communion is we've been taking advantage of this time, this unique time in the Lord's presence. And what we said is we know as a congregation, we know we pray, and Todd gave a great testimony to the power of Journey's prayers in the life of some of our friends in Oregon and what God's still continuing to do and how God's answering prayer. And so we know we are a praying congregation. And what we want to do is press more deeply into the presence of the Lord. And so what we've been doing as a congregation, saying, well, look, we want to really press into the Lord's presence through congregational prayer. So when we're together, we know we pray when we're apart. And we know that a lot of times we, you know, even after church, we'll get together and pray for people who need one thing or the other. But we want to press in the congregational prayer. And our first stab at this is that we said, hey, let's do this on Sundays, because we're already uniquely in the presence of the Lord on Communion Sunday. Why not just keep that party going and take that into the realm of congregational prayer? So that's what we've been doing since August. It's been pretty cool. There's some tweaks we've made along the way. We're still open to tweaks. We know it's still pretty brand new. We're still kind of kicking the tires on what's happening here. So if you have suggestions about ways we could make our time better, we are open. So that's what's happening. So what we have is we have three kind of prayer movements, if you want to call them that. The first one is a general prayer for our government, nation, state, city. So we'll be doing that. I will lead us in prayer there through, you know, and I would just lead us in general prayer to get us going. And then for a few minutes, you just pray. Right? That's it. You pray right where you are. That's cool. If for some reason you're like kind of a walker and maybe you want to walk around and pray, I do that around my house sometimes, you know, pray standing up or something like that. That's cool too. But it's just praying about these specific items. If the Holy Spirit brings items related to this to your mind, go off script, knock yourself out. But we pray for government, nation, and for government, for nation, state, city. Sorry about that. Then the next slide would be we pray for our church. So specific prayer items there. And then notice that the shift here, though, is that here, if you want to pray with others around you, people who are comfortable being prayed with, go for it. You know, maybe it might be somebody in your small group who you pray with, or maybe you guys talked about something beforehand. That's cool. But if you are a person or you're a household who says, look, I just want my space, let me pray, guess what? Rock and roll, right? Do you. You don't have to pray with anybody if you don't want to. It's just an option for those who feel comfortable kind of physically being in a circle or however it is you want to configure that. But that's the third element, and that's about our church and specifically for prayer. And then the last one is these are individual prayer concerns ongoing prayers. If you have been very comfortable praying by yourself, right, cool. Keep doing that, right? If you want to keep praying in a group, cool, keep doing that. You want to receive prayer, you want somebody to come talk to you, come pray with you, raise your hand. You know, we got you. And, you know, obviously I'm a pastor, we do that. Our elders can do this, any lay leaders. But then if you, anybody, this is open, it's the priesthood of the believers. Anybody can pray with anybody else, right? You feel moved to go pray with somebody with their hand up, please feel free to do so. And also, we're going to have a table at this stage out back where there'll be a bowl. And if you want to have prayer requests that you want to write down and you want somebody to pray from up front near the end, for those specific requests, we'll do that. We only ask that you keep names anonymous. The Lord knows who people are. We don't want to, you know, put somebody's information inadvertently, you know, compromise somebody or say something that's way too personal. So just kind of keep it anonymous, initials, or just, you know, however you want to do that, but just want to respect privacy. But in any event, though, there'll be a table with a bowl out there. And then also for that final stage, if you want anointing for healing, we got you. You can talk to me. You can talk to George about anointing for healing, and we can give you anointing for healing as well. And each one of those will be introduced. I will introduce the first section. George will introduce the second, and then I will do the third as well. Good? All right. Cool. All right. Rock and roll. So that's what we're doing. So let's get going. We're going to go ahead with the first section. Our first section is government, and that's national, state, city. Bullet points are national unity in the political violence and unrest. Tacoma, in Washington, we have our November elections, obviously, that are right in our doorstep. Fair process, righteous results. And then also, last bullet point, revival fire to sweep through our city, our state, our nation, right? And anything else the Holy Spirit puts in your heart. Okay, there we go. So I'm going to open this up, and then we're going to pray. And then after we feel like, hey, there's been sufficient time, George will come up and do the next element. All right, here we go. Father God, in the great name of King Jesus, we do lift up to you our city, our state, our nation. We do, Lord, pray that you would be with us as we pray. We need to have the mind of Christ, the mind of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as we pray specifically for these strategic areas. Please, Lord, speak to our hearts, empower our prayers, help us to see what you see, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to pray sufficiently, help us to pray strategically, help us to pray adequately in the presence of our holy God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, be with us as we pray. Amen. We've received two prayer requests, and so I want to pray into this or into these two situations. And then also, if you could pray with me, you could refrain from just listening to me pray, but pray with me as we pray. We got a prayer for healing for someone's father who's received a cancer diagnosis and who has a blood clot issue. So we're going to lift that up first. And then also another a separate prayer for healing for two people, and for one person for peace, and then two other people for safe return. So we're going to handle those separately. Okay, so let's pray. Father God, in the great name of Jesus, we lift up this dad who has a cancer diagnosis. In the name of Jesus, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray that you would reach down from heaven and that you would provide healing by your great power, by your new creation power, that you would take the frailness of this body, take the frailness of this person, Lord God, and that you would be strong in the midst of frailness, that you would show yourself powerful in the midst of powerlessness, that you would show yourself to be the God who pushes against uncreation and decay, and you speak life into a dead situation. We are praying, God, for entire restoration and healing for this man, that you would be with him, that you would extend his days in the earth, and that you'd reverse this situation completely and bring great healing to his body and make him well in the great name of King Jesus. Please demonstrate your compassion for him in this way. Lord God, we also pray for this blood clot issue. We pray, God, that you would reverse this, that you would heal it, that you would do a work right now. We know he's being taken care of by medical professionals. We are praying for their skill and their acumen at the exact same time. Lord God, be with them. But we pray for your hand from heaven, even right now, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Reverse this situation completely. The cancer, the clotting. Lord God, make all things new in the name of Jesus. We pray for these other instances, these other people, Lord God, for these two folks who need healing. We pray for their healing. We pray, God, that you would show yourself supreme Lord, you are supreme over our bodies. The Lord has shown us this time and time again that you, God, would be the healer for these two people. Bring healing to their bodies. Reverse their situations, whatever the illness is, whatever the disorder is, whatever's happening, that you, Lord, would bring light into darkness and that you would heal, Lord. We believe in you for this. We're going to believe you for healing. And we trust you in the name of King Jesus. We entrust these people and their medical situations to you. Please heal them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for this other person who simply needs peace. We pray that this person would receive it. You are the God of peace. You are the God of shalom. And because you are the God of peace, we know that you can bring peace into this situation. You are the Lord who, when there was a storm and you were in the boat, you said, peace be still to the waves and the winds, and they had to be still because you're Lord. So we pray that you would still the storms in this person's life, bring peace of mind, body, soul, in any and all external situations, Lord God. Bring them to stillness and peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up these other two folks who need a safe return. We are praying for that. Wherever they're coming from, wherever they're going to, we pray for safety in their return, that you'd bring them wherever home is, wherever the next station is they got to go to, that they'd be there in wholeness and in health, that every single thing about their life situation would be entirely calm, fine, serene, and that you would be with them. Keep them safe from harm. Keep them safe from the devil. And be with these folks in their body, their mind, their soul, their spirit. Lord God, we entrust them to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we do, as we close out, we lift up all situations here. There are so many situations we have, Lord, going on personally. Lord, we have praises before you. We pray that praises were and are magnified. Lord God, I know Alyssa and I praise you for the success of the Halloween outreach. Lord God, we lay the praise at your feet. It is not us, but you who is worthy of the glory. Thank you for answering the prayers of the saints. Lord, we do lift up any and all situations in marriages and families, especially with holidays coming up. We pray for your peace to reign over marriages and families, Lord God. We pray for your peace over any downturn, financial downturns, Lord, or any things that are happening there fiscally for people in the Journey family. We pray, Lord, for your miraculous provision, and we pray for the ability and wisdom to walk with each other in the midst of those things. Lord, we pray for job situations, Lord. We pray that you would have everybody who needs gainful employment to have it. We pray that you would help anyone, Lord, in work situations where there's adversity to push through and to find your wise solutions, your kingdom solutions at work. Lord, we pray, God, for all of us, Lord, whatever our life situations are, that you would help us to trust you and to be able to walk with you and to see tangible solutions through prayer and through the wisdom of the Holy God. Living God, thank you for meeting us in this time. Help us to continue to press into you as a congregation and also individually. Help us to encourage us to come to our Holy Father with anything and everything. You are the God who answers. You are the God who lives. You are the only one we have to run to. Thank you, Lord. Amen.